Come on forward. Yep. Every church has their own little style of doing this. Coming from over here, more in the back. All right.
Basket goes back there. I'll take it. Okay, I'll take this. I'll take that. It goes over here.
All right, all the little kids. Man, that's great. I always like seeing that. All right, I'm going to tell you a story about when I was 12 years old. I think it was about 12. Maybe I might have been 11. Any of you like to help your parents? Anybody like to help their parents? All right, that's good. Well, this story was one time I was going to help my parents. Specifically, I was going to help my dad. Now, in our backyard, we had a garden. Anybody here have a garden? Do you have gardens? All right. And in our garden, we had strawberries. Anybody like strawberries? Ooh, yeah. Mmm, yummy. Anyhow, but one thing about strawberries is when you put strawberry plants in, they are good for 1 year. They're good for 2 years. But after about 3 years, you need to take the strawberry plants out and put new strawberry plants in. And our strawberry plants had been in for 3 years. Well, one Sunday, my parents went away. They went to town, and they left me at home. And I was going to do something really nice for my parents. And I knew that we were going to have to take out our old strawberry plants. And so I went out into the garden, and I took out all the strawberry plants. I made it look all nice and everything. And I was just so excited. I could hardly wait for my parents to come home. Do you ever get excited for when you want to see your parents? Yeah, me too. I was so excited. I could hardly wait. And pretty soon the car came back, you know, and Dad opened up the door. And I said, Dad, come and see, come and see. And he could tell I was really excited about this. And so we went back to the backyard, and he looked at the garden, and you know what he said? I bet you don't know what he said. He said, "My strawberry plants!" I didn't know it, but he had already taken out the old strawberry plants, and he had planted all new strawberry plants. And I had just ripped out all of his new strawberry plants. And I could tell that I had not done something very good. I had done something exciting, but in not a good way. And the tears welled up, and Dad said, Brian, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Where's the old strawberry plants? And we found the old strawberry plants, and he said, let's see how much we can recover. And so we planted the new old strawberry plants back in. And they turned out all right. It worked out. Strawberry plants are pretty tough, we found out. And everything was okay. But sometimes in our Christian life, do we sometimes do things wrong when we mean to do right? Does that happen? It does happen. And you know what? When that happens, God sees your motives. He sees that you meant to do right. You know, and he gives us a little correction. He tells us how to do things better. But he accepts our motives, that we really meant to do well. Just like my dad saw my motives, that I meant to do well, even though I didn't do so well. But it also tells us, what should I have done first? What do you think I should have done first? Ask. That's right. And so that's what we need to do. Before we take action sometimes, we need to ask our Heavenly Father if this is really the way we ought to go and what we ought to do. All right, you going to do that? You going to ask? Ask your parents and ask God before you take action? Amen. All right. Have a good. Go back to your seat now.
Our offering today is for Adventist World Radio. Gustavo, just imagine him. He's working alone on his farm in the Dominican Republic, and all he has for company is his radio. It's his constant companion. All day long, he toils among the fruit trees and the vegetable plants, but he's listening to his radio, and Adventist World Radio is reaching Gustavo there in Dominican Republic. Around the world, people are tuning in to Adventist World Radio in a wide variety of ways, from the Middle Eastern students at internet cafes to villagers with small shortwave radios in Cambodia. People are hearing the voice of hope in their own language. So we have an opportunity this morning to help with Adventist World Radio. It's one of our world budget offerings. You can mark your envelope, and if you aren't prepared to do this today, another week, or any time really, you can contribute to Adventist World Radio. It's one of our outreaches to all the world, people who can't be reached in any other way. The deacons will come forward now and receive your offerings. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we could participate in this offering today. We pray that you'll bless it and bless each giver too. And we're so thankful for the beautiful music that accompanied it. And Father in heaven, please be with each of us through this week and bless our offerings and help us to plan for serving you in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. What a beautiful day, isn't it? I don't know about you, but we had a little taste of spring at the first part of February. And then at the last part of February and the first part of March, we were really hit with winter. Is that what it was here? Yeah. Winter went out with a great last stand. My name is Karen Holland, and I direct the Bell Choir. And Claire Luz Diaz Henderson directs our choir and chorale. Mrs. Donna Dumar directs our string ensemble. And we are just delighted to be here in Wichita Three Angels Church this morning. What a blessing to be here and worship with you. My husband and I have always considered this a second home church to us. And it's just so nice to see so many friends and alumni and parents. And it's just a blessing to be here. Has anybody ever taken anything for granted? Don't let me be the only one, please. Okay. And when did you realize that you really did appreciate this, whatever it was? When it was gone. When it was gone, then it was like, whoa, wait a minute. I wanted that. That was really good. I really appreciated that. And now I don't have it anymore. I want you to think for a minute. What would life be like without the Holy Spirit? What would life be like without the Holy Spirit? Do we have a tendency to take the Holy Spirit for granted? It's just something that's there. It's something that God gave to us. It's, you know, but do we really fully appreciate? I want to share with you something from Acts of the Apostles. It says this: wherever the need of the Holy Spirit is a matter little thought of, there is seen spiritual drought, spiritual darkness, spiritual declension, and death. I'm assuming that's meaning spiritual death. Whenever minor matters occupy the attention, the divine power which is necessary for the growth and prosperity of the church and which would bring all other blessings in its train is lacking though offered in plentitude. Wow, so the presence of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit in our lives personally and in the lives of in the life of the church is so vital, and do we take that for granted? With the consecrated worker for God, in whatever place he may be, the Holy Spirit abides. The words spoken to the disciples are spoken also to us. The Comforter is ours as well as theirs. The Spirit furnishes the strength that sustains striving, wrestling souls in every emergency. Amidst the hatred of the world and the realization of their own failures and mistakes, in sorrow and affliction, when the outlook seems dark and the future perplexing, and we feel helpless and alone, these are the times when, in answer to the prayer of faith, the Holy Spirit brings comfort to the heart. This morning we want to share with you a program that is based on songs written by people in that kind of an experience in their life. This morning's program is based on spirituals, written by people who were experiencing a dark time, a difficult time, and a challenging time. And it is our prayer that through these songs this morning, you will be encouraged and you will be brought to understand the value and the beauty of the Spirit of God. We will be giving you two opportunities to participate in the program this morning. One of them will be in the string ensemble song called Every Time I Feel the Spirit, and Mrs. Henderson will turn around and she'll lead you in that. And the last one will be in the Let the Saints Get Up and Sing. Is that right? I believe so. So we're excited about worshiping with you this morning and pray that each of us will receive a blessing and be drawn closer to God.
Good morning. What's this? It looks like a present, right? Well, this is the symbol I have to introduce the first piece we're going to play. And, you know, one of the exciting things about a present is you see it, but you don't know what it is, right? Well, there's a present that's talked about in the Bible that you can't see, but it's the present that God desires to give to us the most. You know what that is, right? In fact, if you look at your program, there's a quote that says, "The Lord is more willing to give the Holy Spirit to those who serve him than parents are to give good gifts to their children." And so our first song is called Peace Like a River. And if you know that song, it talks about peace like a river, joy like a fountain, and love like an ocean. And those three, peace, joy, and love, are the first three aspects of the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians. So we're going to play that song. And I also like the allusion there with water, because we know that Jesus, the Word, is like a spring of living water. And so we have three pictures of water that can refresh us by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then the second song we'll be playing is The Poor Wayfaring Stranger. And for that, I have this as our illustration. Does anyone know what this is? It's a walking stick. Yeah, I thought someone might say a ski pole, but it's not. It's a walking stick. And do you know the picture of a poor wayfaring stranger? Somebody who's kind of wandering through some difficult time, kind of lonely sometimes. And the truth is that it can be like that sometimes as pilgrims on this earth. We can feel like we're a little lonely, like the way we're going is a little hard. And even then, we're told we can have the assurance of the Holy Spirit, because there's no place we can go where His Spirit won't go with us. And even in our hard times, Jesus Himself was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So if you find yourself sometimes in the wilderness, does not mean you're abandoned by God, but just that He's preparing you or doing something special with you. But in that song, The Poor Wayfaring Stranger, there's also a longing and a looking toward something better, right? Longing for the home and the time when you arrive at your destination. And then our last one will be Every Time I Feel the Spirit. And as it says, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. And we know we want to learn to pray without ceasing, so we need to be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit in our hearts.
Thank you. All right, good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. All right, so as we start our program, the first song we're going to sing is Free Us, Emmanuel. And, you know, whether we realize it or not, we're all in bondage, aren't we? Because we've all broken the law of God and we've sinned. And because of that, we are bound by our sin. And we don't have the power to free ourselves, no matter how self-reliant or independent we are. We don't have that power. Only God holds the key to our freedom, right? And so just like my friend Ray here, we are in shackles, and the only one that can give us that freedom from our sins is Jesus. As we rely on him and we accept the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives, he will free us from our bondage. So our first song, Free Us, Emmanuel.
Okay, so when we're in our journey through life, you know how we always have rivers, which is a good analogy for trials. And so the next song we're going to sing is called Deep River. I like to think of it about the story of the Israelites when they were going into the land of Canaan and the Promised Land, and when they came to the Jordan River, and they had to exercise faith to be able to cross the Jordan. God told them that they had to put their feet into the water, and they had to trust God that he would make a way for them. And he did. And so the waters parted, and they were able to cross through and go into the Promised Land. In our life, we always, I'm sure we always have trials and things that we go through, but we can trust God, and he has a Promised Land waiting for us. And we can be able to eat of the fruit of the tree of life, and we can be with God. And I know that's going to be the most wonderful thing we can ever imagine.
Amen.
Hello. I'd like to ask a question. How many of you are familiar with the classic epic game of war called Rock, Paper, Scissors? If you're not familiar with it, I'll tell you how it goes. Basically, Ms. Holland, would you like to stand up and demonstrate here? You have an opponent, and you know, rock, paper, scissors, and you have three options. You can either use rock, paper, or scissors. Now, rock beats scissors, obviously, because they're sharp, and rocks can't really be cut by scissors. So an interesting thing, he sent out. Interesting thing, if you remember the story of Joshua in the Battle of Jericho, he had swords and spears. So the question comes, how do you break rocks with a sword? How did he take down walls with a sword? Any ideas? He didn't. See, even though Joshua had swords and he had spears and he had all kinds of fun weapons, those weren't what took down the walls. It was the power of God that took down the walls. So we have to remember that it's not our own strength. It's God using what we give that causes the victory. Now the choir will now sing Joshua at the Battle of Jericho.
Jericho, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down.
Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, 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 Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your man of Gideon, you may talk about your man of Saul, there's none like good old Joshua and the battle of Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down.
This is the time when we will come forward with our blue cards for prayer. As I said in the story, God can bring walls down. And we have a time of prayer each Sabbath. We invite the congregation to come forward. If you have a blue card or if you have a prayer request, just come with me and kneel with me or stand up here at this time while they're singing the next song.
We also have a few alumni that sang this song, Take It to the Lord in Prayer. So if any of you know it and think you remember it, you're welcome to come and sing it with us.
So anybody here prayed for anybody before? All right. Anybody been prayed for besides me? Well, prayer gives God the chance to work in behalf of the person who is being prayed for. And I was prayed for by my grandmother, always knew that. And it gives me a sense of encouragement and, I guess you could call it, confidence that somebody was praying for me and that God would be with me, and even though I fall, he would pick me up again. And in times of trouble, When we pray, God sends His angels to help us. For example, here, in human eyes, it's just a human, Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego. But when Nebuchadnezzar's eyes was opened, he saw Christ in the midst of them. Likewise, in our life, when we go through trials and temptations, we may not always see Christ. But if our spiritual eyes were open, we would see Christ all the time. And so as we sing this next song, Take It to the Lord in Prayer, I'd ask that the Holy Spirit would be with us and we would be able to understand what it means.
Loving Father, it's wonderful to be in your presence. It's amazing how much you have shown the love that the Godhead has for us, that we can find comfort, that we can find forgiveness, that we can find strength, that we can find victory in your presence. We're thankful, Father, as we come together to worship and to praise you and to learn that we can trust that you know the way forward and that you will lead us step by step when we humble ourselves and follow you. Thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, who has made all of this possible. Father, there are people here this morning that are struggling, that have issues in their lives, and you know what they are, whether they are emotional or physical or spiritual. There are people in our lives that may be struggling or that may be causing struggles for us. There may be pain, there may be sorrow, there may be grief. Father, you know each heart of those who are up here kneeling with me. And there are many that have unspoken prayers among us, Father, as well, that are sitting in the pews. And I pray that you will meet our deepest needs. That you will answer the prayers on these blue cards in such a way that your name will be honored and glorified in our lives. And I ask, Heavenly Father, that the answers, that the prayer requests that you answer will be answered in such a way that every single one of us will be on a path to eternal salvation. Because you have the long view in mind, we know, Father. I pray for our church family as a whole, that we will grow closer to Jesus, that we will be, that you will impress upon us to be faithful to your word and to the testimony of Jesus, and that you will help us to be a witness, a beacon of light to this community. Give us the strength. Give us the reliance on your word and the testimony that will bring this community to a realization that we have been with Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this hour of worship, that we can have this special time with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to share with you a thought this morning before we play our next song. And that is that Jesus did not die for our sins. Are you awake out there? Only. He did not die for our sins only. This is Isaiah 53. It says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are" what? "We are healed." He did not just die for our sins. He died for our healing. And this morning I brought some Kleenex with me. Because oftentimes healing has what in it? Pain. Pain and tears. And Jesus died for those things to bring us healing and peace and joy. And the reason is because he experienced that darkest hour as well. We're going to share a song with you that's a medley of three hymns. Darkest Hour. How many of you guys like maps? I like maps, and I got an app the other day that is a map of the world, and you can learn regions, and you put the things in, and it times you and all of that. And so I've been learning the different regions of the world. It's been really interesting. Countries I've never heard of before. And then I was looking on a website at the world's or the Earth's population. Anybody have a guess what it is? 7,301,218,531,42,547,548,549. It's going up. That's what the website is doing. It's showing the births for today, 194,000, the deaths, 80,000, the growth, 114,000. There's a lot of people on this planet, and they're multiplying, and they're doing all kinds of things. And sometimes I sit and think, I wonder, what are those people doing? I mean, we're here this morning, we're in church, we're praising God, we're worshiping, but what are the rest of the 7 billion people doing? We're just a very, very small handful of them. And I wouldn't begin to know what they're doing, but God does. God does, because He has each of us in His hands. He has the whole world in His hands. I think there were some alumni here this morning that played in that song. But unlike choir, I can't invite them to join. There's only so many bells to go around. But that would be fun if we could do that. How many of you guys like to hike? Anybody? I love to go hiking. And there's two places that we have done a lot of hiking. Can't say that they're maybe our... They are our favorite places, I guess, because we've done a lot of hiking there. But there might be others had we had opportunity. But one of those is in Summit County, Colorado. And the other is at Wichita Mountains, Oklahoma. And we have a couple of books that we have that tell us where these hikes are and, you know, where you're going and how to get there and, you know, all of those kinds of things. None of it would be really any fun if I were just out there doing it by myself. Every once in a while, it's nice to take a hike by yourself because it's just nice to be alone occasionally, but not most of the time. Most of the time, I want somebody to be with me. And all of the time, Jesus wants to be with us. He wants to walk with us everywhere we go, and he gives us that promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So our next song is, I Want Jesus to Walk With Me.
Thank you. All right, so this jar right here represents our lives. Now, none of us are perfect, right? We all sin. But what about Adam? Like, he was the first man ever created. He was the father of all mankind. So wasn't he perfect, right? You know, he was perfect, right? No, he sinned in the Garden of Eden. You know, so he has this red dyed his life. But what about Moses? He was a leader of the nation Israel. I mean, to be at a position like that, you have to be, like, perfect, right? But no, he was a murderer. So, you know, he also had sin in his life. And what about David? So, I mean, he was the man after God's own heart. So wasn't he perfect? But no, he was an adulterer. So he also had sin in his life. So we can't clean ourselves by ourselves. Only God can come and clean us. And we have to ask him. So when he comes, and he will clean us from all of our sin. And when we are clean, we can be witnesses for him and share with everyone around us what he has done for us. Now, when you think of a witness, we usually think of like Enoch or Ruth or maybe Paul. We don't usually think of people like Nicodemus or Samson. You know, Nicodemus was going around at night sneaking around to talk to Jesus because he was too ashamed to talk to him during the daylight. And what about Samson? I mean, he broke practically every promise he had made to God. That's not really a witness. But in the end of their lives, after Jesus had died, Nicodemus was a huge witness for him to the other Pharisees. And also Samson, at the end of his life, when the Philistines had brought him out to mock at him and probably were yelling at him, like, well, where's your God now? You know, you're in chains, you're blind, you know, how are you going to witness for him now? Well, he prayed to God, and God came and gave him the strength that he could witness to him to all those Philistines so that they could see the power that God has. You know, so it doesn't matter what our lives have been, God can still use us. So the next song we're going to sing is Now Witness.
Be a witness for my Lord. Who will be a witness for my Lord?
Oh, I'll be a witness for my Lord. I'll be a witness for my Lord.
Was a man who desired to know how a man can evil be sold. Christ saw Nicodemus as a friend.
Man, you must be born again.
He said, marvel not, you be wise, repent,
believe, and be baptized.
Then you'll be a witness for my Lord.
My soul is a witness for. All right. So can anyone tell me what I have in my hand right now? It's a what? Exactly. Let's see. Skeletons, as you all know, by themselves cannot be functional. But there is a story in the Bible about Ezekiel, and Ezekiel had a vision. And in that vision, he saw a valley full of old dry bones. And in that, he had asked God for power to revive the bones that were on the ground. And in his vision, God had came through, and he revived those bones on the ground. And the next song we are going to be singing is Dry Bones. And this song basically is explaining how the miracle that happened in Ezekiel's vision can be ours if we just allow God to bring us to life, to true life in him.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Are you enjoying our concert? All right. Okay, so let's say this bass is me. You know, let's say my testimony a little bit. I've been growing in Adventistdom. But thing was, my dad was not Adventist. So, like, let's say my mom gave some of the good things, like Christian life. Then let's say my dad gave me some bad things, like, you know. And then when I growing up, I went to the church, I went to the school, I went to the summer camp, or, you know, I was trying to fill up my lives or my body. Thing was, if you see this base, well, probably you cannot see, but you see all the gaps between marbles? I want to fill it up, the little gaps. Things I don't know how to, because I don't have anything. So I prayed to God, please send your Holy Spirit to me, so I can fill up all the gaps, so I can fill it up myself fully, so I can use by God, right? Then God sent the Holy Spirit, which is, let's say, water, filled all the gaps between marbles, and then he filled up me fully. Now we were gonna sing a song. Name is "Fill Me, Lord." Yeah, please enjoy.
Turn around and watch a video. I believe this is a video that's going to close our program and show you a little bit in our imagination. A young person did this in Chattanooga, and let you know that Jesus is coming soon, and we really do need to listen to the Spirit.
Indeed, we want to go through the Orion Nebula and go to the throne of God. we go. So we are leaving the earth here. And of course, we'll pass the earth. We see the sun there to our right. Now approaching the sun. And you can see the Orion Nebula there. Past the sun. As we pass the sun, we're probably going over 100 times the speed of light. And approaching Orion, the individual stars will be passing at different times because they're at different distances from the Earth. But it's actually in the sword of Orion. The middle star of the sword of Orion is the Orion Nebula. We're approaching it here. Coming closer, coming closer. The Orion Nebula is 1,500 light years from the Earth. That cavern is actually 100 light years wide. You go into the center of that cavern. We're circling around the trapezium cluster here. This is actually something you can see with a home telescope if you're interested in looking at it. You won't see the nebulosity, but you will see the trapezium. Going through the trapezium, continuing past the trapezium as we come to heaven, to the city of New Jerusalem with the foundations of precious stones, the gates of pearl. Approaching now to the temple in the New Jerusalem.
The sanctuary. And as we go to the sanctuary, what are we going to end up with? There is indeed right before us Christ the great high priest.
And the Ten Commandments.
And the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. It's right before the throne of God. Jesus Christ himself, the author of them all, ministering before the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. David, then after we are there, what's going to happen in return?
Of course, Jesus, at the time of the second coming, will step out of the most holy place. He will begin to come back to the earth. Of course, Jesus leaving the New Jerusalem there, coming through the open space in Orion. There's the trapezium now. As you exit Orion, that great bowl configuration surrounding Jesus on his return will, of course, be millions and millions of angels surrounding him. Of course, as Jesus himself speeds toward the earth at thousands of times the speed of light. He will have to slow down as he approaches the earth. Coming through the solar system, he passes the sun, of course doing many times the speed of light until he gets close to the earth, slows down. The people on the earth will first see a dark cloud. And as that dark cloud gets a little closer, a little brighter, and it finally lights up the sky. And as it lights up the sky, those people who are alive and waiting for Jesus will welcome him. Will say, "Lo, here is our God. We have waited for him." In Revelation 14:12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus.
A young person in Chattanooga put that together. That's his imagination. You think it's going to be better than that? Much better than that. And I want to be with those saints going in, and I hope every one of us wants to be there. But we have to do our part. We're going to sing a medley to close of In That Great Getting Up Morning and When the Saints Go Marching In. And we want you to sing one stanza as participating as one of those saints that's going to march in that day.
Lord, I want to
when the saints begin to pray, Lord, I want to be in the number. When the saints begin to pray, very well. When the saints go marching in, I'm gonna tell you about the coming of the judgment very well, very well. I'm gonna tell you about the coming of the judgment very well, very well. There's a better day coming very well, very well. There's a better day coming very well, very well. In that great day come morning very well, very well.
And we're going to show you why we do these concerts last year and this year. And then we'll give you an opportunity as the Bell Choir plays their last piece to share with us the burden we have for young people and education. And I know this church has a burden for young people and education. So that's why we go out to share God's messages and music and to help these young people from all over the world who won't be able to do their education without our help.
This time, each one of you will be, we will welcome you to be part of our fellowship meal after the service. And on the way out, there will be an offering towards the Worthy Student Fund for Oklahoma Academy. So again, we have a fellowship meal afterwards. Please join us for continued fellowship. And then at 6:30 tonight, again, we will have a memorial for Millie Mills. We invite, welcome you for that as well. Thank you.